So, how are you?
Good.
Does anyone feel like their day is like the storm? Or have you had blue sky days? Have there been days this past week and you felt like you were enjoying the brightness of the sun? Or have you felt like you've been over the moon? Has there been times in your week, or perhaps today, in which you feel the rain coming down? Tears of maybe joy or pain? Or have you just been flying high? In a group this size, there'll be some of us who will say, "This has been the worst days of my life." And there'll be some of us who said, "It's been fantastic. I felt like a duck in the rain." These are all emotional questions. And that's good. How are you is an emotional question. I don't think too often you say, "Well, my IQ is 175. When someone says, "How are you?" I don't think you say, "Well, from my head to my toes, I'm pretty healthy." No, how are you is an emotional question. And that's a good thing, because God made you to be emotional persons, people. You see, in the Bible, even though we've got it wrong, at least I've got it wrong at times, God is emotional. Emotions are good. We are made in His image, so therefore, the emotions that we have are good for us to wrestle with, even though some of them, yes, lead us into sin, like anger. August 17th of last year, Matthew Yule spoke to us, and in my absence on my holiday, he spoke on pain's purpose and presence. It was a great message. I was able to hear it afterwards about suffering and grief and sadness and helplessness and loss and a reminder of who we are through these things. Big questions like, where is God in suffering? From Romans 5, 2 to 5. And Romans 2 to 5, as Matthew shared with us, tell us to rejoice in our sufferings because our sufferings produce perseverance and our perseverance produces character and character produces hope. Hope. You can ask Matthew today if you can listen to that. He has the link for you to be able to listen to that. You can ask Nick as well because it is an excellent primer on what we're talking about over this month. I reviewed it again this week, and it's just a great reflection for us, in addition to what we're studying, for us to think about. The great physician is in. Jesus is the great physician. He's the healer. So we're wrestling with that. This is a highly controversial subject on healing. All kinds of denominations have wrestled with this in various ways. And we are going to read and search out and seek and consider and encourage and ask for God's healing through this month. Shared last week that it's going to be messy. And perhaps there's going to be some times throughout these weeks in which you'll say, "I do not like what Ken's saying." And perhaps you'll say, "If only God could bring about what Ken's saying." You'll be tested because this is a challenging topic for us to wrestle with. Was in Jesus' day, has been ever since He rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and is now. It is going to be a subject or a series in which we'll ask more questions than we have answers. It will be an introduction more than a conclusion. Strategies of practice more than celebrations of victory. A messy adventure. You know, like Family Circus cartoon where the kid's coming home from school and it's like this as he comes home from school. It's going to be more like that than a GPS map as we search through this. But it's healthy for us to do this. So today, I just wanted to remind you, you have a choice. This roadmap that we have here today is your choice. You can go in the direction of hope, or you can go in the direction of despair. It is your choice. It's always been humanity's choice. You hear it in conversations around. You contribute to conversations and say, but There will be brighter days, in which the person says, no, there will not. It will rain until I die 55 years from now. Despair. That's despair. We feel for them when we or them or they are in that place. It's a place of despair. One of the books that we're using for this series is The Healing Breakthrough by Randy Clark. There's extra copies of this. Another one that we're looking at is Pete Scazzaro's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which I'm just finishing and I'm happy to lend. Pete Scazzaro does a number of books on emotional health and spirituality, so we'll make those available to you. So this morning we're going to look at a couple of verses, reflect on those verses, and then I'm going to ask you what you think about this question. How can God heal us emotionally? What is he asking of us for that to happen? Because I am overcome with the reality that I can't handle this subject. Like, I can't put an exclamation mark on this subject. Don't look to me to have the answers in this subject. We have the answers together more than I do. So we're going to be a short time this morning for us to reflect, and that's the question. I want you to focus on that question. How can or does God heal us emotionally, part of the process, if you will, and what is he asking of us? Because he is asking of us. So let's take a look at a couple of passages. In the Bible, oddly enough, emotions, the word emotions, emotional, isn't used a lot. It's a relatively new usage of a language, but heart is all the time. And heart for the Old Testament Hebrews, heart was a mix of your emotions, your will, your volition, your spirit, your soul, and your intellect. It was a mix. Your heart. It was a heart. You know what I'm talking about. The heart. What's here? Let's take a look at a couple of passages. The first passage we're going to look at is in the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel. God says through Ezekiel this brilliant statement that shocks us. He says this. Those of you that like to read with me, please feel free to read along as I read this out loud. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is a brilliant passage that brings together our spirit, our soul, you know, that spiritual part of us that God guarantees will live on past this world, and our emotional, the heart, and the intellect. He puts it all together. We are integrated as people. It's hard to pull them apart, even though we can talk this way. And in this passage, God says through Ezekiel, I'm going to renew you. Let me rephrase for you. God can and God will heal you and I. He'll remove our hard hearts, our belligerence, our despair, our unyieldingness. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not changing. We've all been there, whether it's been when we were 3 years old or 33 years old. Belligerence, despair, unyieldingness. God says, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to take your hard heart that doesn't want to change, and I'm going to soften it, and I'm going to give you a new heart, not a heart of stone, a heart of flesh. He says, he continues and goes on, I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you. What the Old Testament people desired in its fullness, God's spirit in our spirit. God's spirit commingled with our spirit. He promises to do that. Break our hard hearts and do emotional surgery on us. Heart surgery on us. To give us a soft, living, a healthy heart. Functional heart, if you will. And the last verse. I will put my spirit in you and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's your intellect. You can't read this Word of God with your emotions. You can't read this Word of God with your knee. You read this Word of God with your mind and seek to understand God's laws and God's ways. So that's the promise in the Old Testament. But let's go on. Because this promise, this brilliant promise in Ezekiel, came through the Messiah, the promised person who would bring this about. Jesus, Messiah, the Christ in Greek. Jesus comes to us and he teaches us and he says this. Once again, if you want to read with me, please feel free to do so. Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus first makes a statement of who he is and how you'll get to know God through him. Brilliant. He uses familiar family language. "I praise you, Father, who is Lord of heaven and earth." And then he spins it because those of us that are heavily trained and religious in our outlook, theologians, Pharisees, we think spirituality comes about often at times because we're wise and learned, right? Jesus says, okay, it's not going to happen that way with me. It's going to be revealed to you in a childlike way. That's brilliance because from the youngest of us to the oldest, we all have equal opportunity. We have to come to God childlike. Not childish, but childlike. "Father, this is what you were pleased to do." God wants to do this. And then he declares exclusivity and says, "The only way you're going to do this is through me." A great challenge for us when we see this on our library, and we see other things on our library like this, and we have all these things that we can feed our mind with, where do we put this in terms of status? Because Jesus said, it's only through me that you're going to be able to go to the Father. So another book that perhaps you have in your library that says, "Oh, no, don't, none of that Christian stuff doesn't really work. Try this instead." Where does this book rank next to that book? Jesus makes a statement about that. And then he connects with us. He says, "Come to me like a child." Childlike. Children, as we know, after we've grown for a while, have faith that is different than ours. And it's required of them because imagine being a two-year-old and having people speak a foreign language all around you all the time and having no idea who's in control. They're totally dependent upon their care providers. They're childlike. But they have a faith, an expectation, if you will, an assurance, a demand, if you will, of someone looking after them, and a knowledge that that person will. You know, child cries out at 3 o'clock in the morning, "Mom! Mom! Mommy!" When you get to the bedside, the child looks at you and says, "What took you so long?" Why? Because they know that you're coming. They expect you're coming. Is that how you pray? "Abba, Father! I need you. I know you're there. I know you're listening to me. Are you coming? I know you can." Childlike faith. So Jesus says to us something that blows me away. Because he tells us, he lays down for us what we need to do. This is his law. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Promise to you first. Come to me and I'll give you rest. "Take my yoke." Yes, I have expectations. Yes, my love is conditional in response. I want you to be connected to me in relationship. "Come to me, take my yoke upon me, and learn from me, your mind. For I am gentle, and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We talked about this a little bit at our retreat. Through all of the incredible thickness of life, the hardness of life. This is absolutely refreshing to me. The Jesus yoke for me is actually not something that's overwhelming and that crushes me. We've done that as the church. We've done that as pastors. Made, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you run about making converts and then you crush them with all the rules you have. We've done that in the church. I confess that as a pastor, as a representative of the church, I've done that. Made rules for you. Jesus says, why don't you come to me and get to know me? Be in relationship with me, and then we'll talk about how we partner, how we pull yoke, how we pull through life together. How does God heal us emotionally? What is he asking of us? Healing takes a change in direction. Always has. We're going to talk about this a little bit more next week, but just let me mention this. Spiritual healing means that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, your God, all places in which if you put him in these positions, you don't have the right to then step back in the position and say, no, you're doing it all wrong, Jesus, let me do it. Savior, Lord, and God, you can't take over those positions. You don't have the ability. Only he does that. We have to yield our life to him and say, it's yours. Like baptism. It's yours, and I will follow your ways. I'll do my best to follow your ways. And that is instantaneous spiritual healing. If you want an image of that, think of the thief on the cross. Remember me when you come to your kingdom. Moments later, the man dies and he goes to heaven. What did he do? He simply yielded to God, to Jesus. Intellectual healing that we talked about last week means accepting the freedom that Jesus gives and that experiencing the renewal that comes through the transformation of your mind. You're renewed through the transformation of your mind, but it's through this. You want to be transformed in your mind? Make this a priority of what you read. And ask God to transform your mind, especially in the world that we live in, because this has a lot of answers to what the world's wrestling with. But I confess that many times I think, I don't know, according to the scientists, according to they, God says, well, you know, I have a perspective on that maybe you should consult with me on. That gives us miraculous power. Sometimes miraculous power, you kind of think, to change great things, no, to be changed yourself. Number three, emotional healing is to accept God's ways, his truth in his life, and to seek his will, and that gives you profound liberty. When we talk about healing, there are some steps that we need to take in order to be healed. Mary just mentioned one. We have to ask. Go to the hospital and tell a doctor you don't want to receive the medicine, but you'll be there in the bed. How long will you stay there? Not long at all. Because you have to be willing to ask and accept the medicine. Like, we have to ask. That's the fourth thing that I was going to share with you. But the first thing is that all of creation belongs to God. This is his. In fact, you are his. It's a mystery, but his will leads us to admit that we're not in control. Just tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. I know you have your plans for tomorrow, but tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. So we're not in control, therefore we're also not in control of our healing. And God's healing is based on his truth, Word of God. When we seek the Word of God, we also realize that healing is far more robust than my expectations because I have a concept of who I should be, and God says, hold on, I'm going to transform you into the likeness of my Son, and you won't look like yourself. You'll look better. But if your expectation, Ken, is going to determine how I'm going to heal you, that's not going to work. You have to yield to me. And you have to understand that my healing is based on my word and my will. Not what you demand, because that means you're God, right? Like if you can say, God, heal me this way because this is what I want, that's not God being God, that's you being God. Third thing is this. We suffer together as human beings and as the church. And we also experience healing together. You know, a few years ago, we discovered the verse, mourn with those that mourn, and rejoice with those that rejoice at the same time. So, the challenge in healing, in praying for healing and asking for healing, is that God will have a different path for you than someone else in this church. And if you have the exact same illness as someone else that's in this church, and they're healed and you're not, how will you feel? Envious? Jealous? Uncertain? But we talked about how we yield to God, and His transformation, His healing, and His definition of healing is what's paramount, and we're still in church together. That's tough to wrestle with. But we do, as Mary mentioned lastly, we need to ask. This is a huge mystery. And we talk about healing. I know today we're talking about emotional healing, but the reality is we're all integrated together. And your emotions and your body and your relationships and your mind and your spirit, it's all mixed up together. And healing of one impacts another. Just like sickness in one part of your body impacts sickness in another. So it's a huge mystery. And that's what many authors admit, is the reality is it's a huge mystery. But that shouldn't keep us from praying. Asking for God's healing the way He wants to heal us. So I want to pray with you and for you. You can take up any stance you want. Our eyes are going to be closed, so if you want to kneel in front of your chairs, do that. If you want to hold your arms out, do that. But I have caveats are that we're going to yield to God. I encourage you to yield to God. We're all in this together, so we're praying for each other. We're going to ask God for healing and ultimately say, as John Madden said many times, "Thy will be done." Because if thy will is done, if God's will is done, that is healing. Let's pray together. Pray expecting the Holy Spirit to do His work, to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Let's pray. God, You sent Your Son. And Jesus, You came and walked amongst us humbly and gently. And You said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Lord, there's people in our congregation here today, our congregation that perhaps are away from us today, who need rest. I need rest. Time to connect with You and say, "Thank You, Lord." To say, "I'm upset, Lord." To say, "I'm frustrated, Lord. I'm angry, Lord." Time to be together with You. And this morning, as we come to You, I pray that these, my friends, will allow their hearts to be open to You and give them to You, because we need You. We are Yours, and we admit that truth because we did not create ourselves. You have created us. We belong to You, and I pray that we are willing to, and that You'll direct us how we can give ourselves to You fully, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our emotions, our relationships. We need You to come. We need Your love to fill us up. And we need Your life to keep living, as the psalmist David wrote, "If I go down to the grave, I can no longer praise You. Keep us alive and in Your love, Lord, so that we can serve You. We yield to You. And Lord, we are listening to what You want to do." I pray, Lord God, that You'll release those in our congregation who have words of knowledge, who have truths that they want to share with us from the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, so that we hear Your truth, both spoken and from the Bible as we read it, to give us a hunger for Your word, that we know Your truth and our minds are transformed by it. I pray, Lord God, that we'll have faithful abandonment to You. We give ourselves to You. We ask for Your faith to transform us, not our own faith, because, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. We together, as a church, as we suffer and as we rejoice, and as we are healed, sometimes as we grieve together, we welcome Your will. Thy will be done. Lastly, Lord Jesus, on behalf of these my friends and those in this church family, we pray that you'll heal us. We ask for your healing touch that sometimes we cannot understand as spirit moves, as the wind moves. We cannot define it. But yielding to you, we accept the next level of your will. We ask that you will heal us. First, heal our souls so that we truly release ourselves to you and say, your Abba, Father. Jesus, you are our Savior and our Lord and our God. And there is no one else in this world to turn to but you. You heal us instantaneously, Lord, when we release ourselves to you in our spirit. And I pray that you'll heal my mind, heal our minds as we seek transformation through the renewal of our minds. That you'll allow us to see and your Holy Spirit would guide us when there is wrong statements, when there is lies, when there are things that impact us culturally that make us think of a will other than yours. And we, God, today humbly ask through the power of your Son's blood and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, commingling with our very spirits, to heal our emotions. Give us the truth, Lord, to understand what statements you make and to discern them from the things that are lies given to us, either in our past or presently. Heal us emotionally and raise us up so that we fully feel that we're fully alive in you. And that as we have healed emotions, we can walk in your way and in your will. Not the way that we want to do it, not the way that we determine, but according to your will and your ways. And we would celebrate that in peace and love and joy and hope and perseverance. I thank you for all the work you're going to be doing amongst us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would heal us. I thank you for your great love for us. And I yearn and I long for us being together in your kingdom, your eschaton, after you come back again. But until then, we ask for your healing to change us so that we're more like you. Heal us, Lord. Amen.